A veces podemos tener una interpretación muy superficial de nuestra fe, basada en reglas. Podemos pensar, bueno, no maté a nadie, no cometí adulterio físico, no me divorcié de mi cónyuge, no hice juramento falso. Por lo tanto, seguramente iré al cielo. Podríamos añadir, fui a la escuela católica, voy a misa todos los domingos, he recibido todos los sacramentos, me siento una buena persona, por lo tanto, iré al cielo. Podemos pensar que si la tenemos completamente en el exterior, eso es todo lo que se requiere de nuestra fe. Pero Jesús nos reta a profundizar. Toma la ley que ya existe, la ley que los escribas y fariseos siguen, que es muy rigurosa. Y explica el corazón de la ley, el alma de la ley, el propósito de la ley. So sometimes we can have this very surface level idea, rules-based interpretation of our faith, where we can think, well, I didn't kill anyone, I didn't commit adultery physically, you know, I didn't divorce my spouse, I didn't make a false oath, so therefore I'm surely going to heaven. We might even add, well, I went to Catholic school, I go to Mass every Sunday, I've received all my sacraments, I feel like I'm basically a good person, I punch my ticket to heaven. And we can think that if we have it all together on the outside, then that's all that's required of our faith. But Jesus challenges us to go deeper. He takes the law that already exists, that the scribes and the Pharisees are following, that's pretty rigorous, but he explains the heart of the law, the soul of the law, maybe the form of the law, if you will, the purpose of it. Entonces, un par de maneras de entender esto son, piense en el cuerpo. No se mueve solo, tenemos un alma que anima nuestro cuerpo, que de la vida. O bien, cuando lees un libro, no solo lees palabras en una página, hay un significado en las palabras, una forma de contenido. Lo mismo ocurre con la ley. La ley misma dice, haz esto, no hagas esto. Pero también hay alguno de la ley de vida, un propósito, algo que la forma o alma. Eso es lo que Jesús nos enseña en su famoso sermón del monte. So a couple of ways to understand this a little bit is think about your body, right? The body isn't just moving itself around, isn't just, you know, this just something biologically that you have, but there's a soul that animates your body. And when you read a book, it's not just words on a page, they don't really make any sense. I guess they could be that way, but for the most part, it's not. There is content that animates those words that makes it have meaning. And it's the same with the law. The law maybe says do this or don't do this, but there's also something that gives life to the law, purpose to it, a soul to it, if you will. Les dice a sus discípulos que no basta con matar a nadie, sino que tras ese acto hay una fuerte ira. Eso no significa que no debemos sentir ira a veces. La ira es una respuesta a una injusticia en nuestras vidas. Pero si esa ira nos consume, nos hace sentir venganza hacia otra persona, tanto que podemos matarla en nuestro corazón. Puede que no sea asesinada físicamente, pero espiritualmente podemos sentir lo mismo. O bien, puede que no cometamos adulterio físico, pero tengamos pensamientos impuros o veamos imágenes impuras. Podemos estar cometiendo adulterio en nuestro corazón. O si no hacemos un juramento físico a algo o a alguien, pero vivimos para las cosas del mundo, o nos preocupamos más por ellas que por nuestra relación con Dios, es similar a hacer un juramento falso en nuestro corazón. So he's telling his disciples that it's not enough that they don't just kill anyone, but underneath that act is maybe a strong anger, if you will. It doesn't mean that we won't feel anger sometimes, because we will. Anger is a response to injustice, whether that's real or perceived in our lives. But if that anger consumes us, then it can make us vengeful towards another person, and we might say kill that person in our hearts. They might be killed physically, but spiritually, we can have that same sort of feeling that can rise up. Or we might not commit physical adultery, but we might have impure thoughts or view impure images that can distort the conjugal act by committing adultery in our hearts. Or we don't swear a physical oath to something or to somebody or to someone, yet we're living in the things of the world. We're caring about the things of the world more than our relationship with God. And that's similar to almost like swearing an oath in our heart, even if it's not something we express physically. La cuestión es que no solo importa la acción externa, sino que es el interior del corazón lo que debemos examinar. Al confesarnos, debemos profundizar en esta área. No debemos pensar solo en los pecados que cometimos físicamente, sino en qué estaba sucediendo en mi corazón como los cometí. Debemos preguntarnos qué nos motivó a cometer esos pecados. Cuando más lo hagamos y permitamos que la gracia sanadora de Dios entre en esos espacios de nuestro corazón, más podremos progresar en la vida espiritual. Podemos comenzar a vivir una vida más virtuosa como discípulos de Cristo. So the point is not just the external action that matters, although that does matter, of course, but it's the interior of the heart that we have to examine. So when we go to confession, we should maybe try and go deeper in this area. We shouldn't just think about the sins that we've committed physically, but what was going on in my heart when we committed those sins? We should ask what motivated us to commit those sins. And the more that we do that, that allows God's grace to enter into those spaces in our hearts. And little by little, we'll actually grow in the spiritual life. We'll start to live a more virtuous life, conforming ourselves to the heart of Christ. Claro, esto no significa que una vez que descubramos la raíz de un pecado, esta desaparezca automáticamente o deje de molestarnos. Sin embargo, sí significa que cuando algo se agita en nuestro corazón, puede tener menos poder sobre nosotros y podemos manejarlo con virtud. Por ejemplo, si tenemos enoje o ira o pensamientos impuros, deberíamos preguntarnos quién los cuando está causando. Podría ser el estrés o un trauma en nuestras vidas o una situación específica, o simplemente ser seres humanos caídos y pecadores. Pero una vez que sabemos que está ahí, podemos pedirle al Señor que nos sane. So of course it doesn't mean that once we discover the root of the sin, that means that it's automatically going to go away or it's not going to bother us or we're not going to encounter temptation. However, it does mean that when it stirs in our hearts, it might have less power over us. We can handle it maybe a little more virtuously if we know what it is. So for example, if we struggle with anger or impure thoughts, we should ask, well, what's causing that? It may be a lot of different things. It could be stress. It could be trauma that we have in our lives or just other things. It could be a specific situation. It could be that we're just fallen, sinful human beings. But once we know that it's there, we can ask the Lord to heal us at the root. So let's bring those things in our hearts that bother us, that cause us to sin, those things in our hearts, and offer them to the Lord during this Holy Mass for Him to transform. Así que traigamos estas cosas de nuestro corazón que nos molestan o nos hacen pecar, ofrezcámosle para que el Señor los sane en esta Santa Misa.